How you doing, Super Scoreboard fans? This is Stephen Mill from the Big Scottish Football Podcast. If you like what you hear from this week's episode, you can subscribe to our very own channel by searching for the Big Scottish Football Podcast via your regular podcast provider. Or you can give us a follow on Twitter as well, at Big Football Scott. You can get us on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you again for taking the time to listen to our latest episode.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 26 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast with me, Stephen Mill, and him, Ewan Cameron. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you very much. Big smile on my face after a wonderful day at Easter Road. I was there working for Fourth One and I thoroughly enjoyed every single second of it, even the two steak pies I had with some brown sauce.
And at one stage, let's be honest, I say one stage, like the opening 5 minutes, 10 minutes, Hibs looked quite decent.
They could have been 2-0 up.
Yeah.
There was that moment in the game where Porteous pings a pass to Johan, splits the defence wide open, he's through on goal, Michael Smith puts on the turbo boosters, gets back in time and nearly scores one of the most spectacular own goals you'll ever see.
It was, yeah.
And then just a few minutes after that, brilliant play from McGeady down the right, puts on a cross, and there's Josh Campbell flicking at the near post, smacks off the post, it gets cleared. Couple of minutes later, Snodgrass free kick into the box, sixes and sevens, who's there to pick up the bits and pieces? Only Ginelli, 12 yards out, smash, bang, wall up, 1-0 Hearts. We were home and hosed.
Pretty much, yeah. And through to the last 16 of the Scottish Cup. We'll go through all the Cup games over the course of the weekend. And I don't know whether you want to speak about this or not, Ewan, about basically Rangers' home match at McDermott Park. We might get into that. I'm not sure if we've got time, to be perfectly honest with you.
Why? What's wrong with getting into it?
Because I can't be bothered. We also have another section of VAR WTF, and we'll go over your shouts for if Scottish football were a Disney movie. Remember, you can find us on all your usual podcast providers and on Twitter at Big Football Scott, and we're on Instagram and Facebook too. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Right, we've already started talking about the Edinburgh Derby. We may as well finish it now. In the end, comprehensive victory for Hearts. Hibs played all right though. I think on another day, if the chances had fallen to not Josh Campbell and maybe Kevin Nisbet, he might have taken one or two of them, but they didn't.
There was a hat-trick of chances for Josh Campbell. I haven't watched the highlights back yet. Maybe you'll be able to tell me. But that one on the goal line at the start of the second half where the cross comes in from Johan, and then there's a Hearts defender, there's Josh Campbell scrambling around the goal line. How did that not go in?
I'm not sure. It was good defending for Hearts, I would say that. The one he should have scored was the header at the back post. Oh. McGeady rolling back the years as well.
Yeah.
Still a lot of quality in him.
Totally.
But Josh Campbell should have scored at the back post. Maybe if it would have been Kevin Nisbet, who knows? But
I tell you what, we
were speaking, we were on air yesterday doing a special show for it, and we said before, if Hibs lose today, Lee Johnson's still going to be fine. If they get beat heavily today, he might not be fine. Where does 3-0 rank with Lee Johnson? Do you think he's teetering? Do you think he's on the brink?
Well, as I was saying to you yesterday on the show on Fourth One, the media were convinced if Hibs lose, Lee Johnson is out the door. I spoke to everyone at the Edinburgh Evening News, at the BBC, etc., 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 and they're all saying if he loses today, he'll be fired as the Hibs manager. And here we are at, what, 20 past one on a Monday afternoon, and he's still in a job as far as I know. Is that right, intern Callum?
Yeah,
is he still in a job?
Yeah, still in a job.
You'll enjoy this, intern Callum, because yesterday Ewan was in the press box at Easter Road in amongst the BBC, Viaplay,
all of them, all
the journalists.
Stephen Craig in there, Michael Stewart was there, John Collins, Neil McCann,
all the names.
Mark Benstead from Sky Sports, they're all there.
All the people that Ewan has slagged to death over the last year, and yesterday he was crawling up their backside. Nice to see you, how are you? Richard Gordon, hello, pal.
You're pathetic.
You really are.
I was being polite, right? I was being polite, I wasn't going to be throwing a cat amongst the pigeons.
Did anyone bump you?
What do you mean, bump me?
Did you sort of like go, all right, how you doing?
One of them.
And anyone sort of just go like,
No, I mean, Liam McLeod was, he shook my hand. He predicted Hearts would win 3-0. We had a nice conversation about Aberdeen.
Yep.
Richard Gordon was pleasant enough. He's not doing a particularly good job at Cove Rangers, is he? Well, it's not him that's in charge. Wait, I can't really say that.
He's not the manager.
What's his play up front?
What's his job at Cove Rangers?
He's like head of communications or something.
Yeah. So it's not his responsibility then.
No, what just happened?
I don't know. But he's at Cove Rangers because he only does the Sunday games for the BBC. So I spoke to him. It was nice to see him. Shook his hand. That was pleasant. Said hello to John Collins, former Hibs player and manager. Yeah. Neil McCann, who I've known from his days at Hearts, etc. When he was in charge of Dundee as well. Mm.
See, Ewan likes to portray that he's outside this wee bubble.
No, but I am.
That you're out.
I am.
Yesterday you were schmoozing with them all.
Hold on a wee second.
Got a special handshake.
See here at the radio station, there are some people that I don't like, but I'll be nice to them. I'll be courteous, I'll be polite. So I'm not going to walk in there acting like Billy Big Boss, pretending I'm something better than the rest of them, or that I'm not a nice guy, because generally I'm a nice guy. If you do me wrong, I'll do you wrong. But see, yesterday, nobody did me wrong.
I will find you.
Nobody did me wrong. And I was more than happy to shake their hand and say hello and have a wee bit of a chat about life.
Do you know what's great is we just got an episode name. If you do me wrong, I'll do you wrong. Yeah.
I will find you and I will tweet about you.
I also spoke to somebody who you know quite well, who's working for Five Live yesterday, Gavin.
Gavin Wallace, yes.
Gavin's a nice guy. He's a lovely guy, sat in front of me. The Hearts TV boys were beside me. Jimmy Sanderson, former Hearts player,
was co-commentary for them.
So yeah, it was lovely. Don't get me wrong. I had a great wee day, and it was made even better with Hearts winning by 3-0. Can we talk about Lauren Shankland?
Yes, we can.
Here's the thing about Lauren Shankland. He scored an absolutely beautiful goal, stunning goal, against Hibs to put us 2-0 up, and that more or less killed the game off. This is the first time that a Hearts striker has scored 20 goals since the season 91-92. Who was the last Hearts striker to do that?
John Robertson.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
It was. Hearts tweeted it.
Right. I kind of thought it might have been, but I wasn't sure.
You kind of thought in the early 90s John Robertson might have been Hearts top scorer.
No, but I remember he went to Newcastle. It was in the late 80s. Then he came back.
He was there for about 18 months or something, was he not?
Yeah, in the late 80s. And he came back in 1990.
This is spectacular from you so far. You've got Richard Gordon in charge of Cove Rangers. John Robertson may or may not have done well for Hearts.
No, I know he did well for Hearts, right? I'm just saying, was that a season when he was the top goal scorer for Hearts?
Well, probably. Of course he was. Was he not a top goal scorer every season? He's got like 300 odd goals.
I'm having a nightmare today. Do you know what? I'm not name dropping here. But do you know what the problem is with me just now?
No, don't say it.
I'm going, don't you dare leave the studio. Let me say it.
Put the mics down.
No. This explains why I'm kind of not really on it just now, because last night I was in the Radisson Blue Hotel drinking margaritas with Matt Goss from Bross. Right? I was up till 1:30 and then I had to do a breakfast show this morning. So that's why I'm kind of not on it. My head's kind of a wee bit fuzzy. So it is John Robertson, of course it is. Why wouldn't it be? But I just thought I'd ask the question, see if you knew the answer.
Matt Goss, of course, who's in charge of Ross County nowadays as well. as ever, we've mentioned that a couple of times. We were on air yesterday and you were understated as ever, Ewan, as you were watching proceedings in front of you at Easter Road.
It's the big one. It's the Edinburgh Derby, and it's live on 4th1.
Because the eyes of the world are on Leith this afternoon. It's a cracking atmosphere, and we're all set to go. A place in the fifth round of Scottish Cup awaits the winners.
Hibs have had the early chances. Also, Josh Campbell off the post for Hibs as well. So
get the long ball in. That's what Hibs have done.
Hibs needed to start well, but they could be doing with taking one of those chances.
Header from Rolls. And it's Shanelli!
And Hearts have taken the lead. It was Hibs with all the early pressure, but Hearts have gone in front.
Half time at Easter Road, and to be honest with you, Hibs were the better team for much of that first half. And in that opening 10 minutes, they could have scored a couple of goals.
They've got to keep the pressure on Hearts and hope they slip up there, but I'm looking at the Hibs bench, they need to get maybe more firepower in there.
There's a goal at Easter Road.
Goal! Shankland! it. The boy can't stop scoring. It's a brilliant right foot shot to the corner of the goal in front of the Hearts support. Hearts 2-0 up, 71 minutes played at Easter Road from Hearts number 9, Lawrence Shanklin. Brilliant play from Humphreys, and what a finish from the captain. Hearts in dreamland.
Despite being down to 10 men, the goal hero Lauren Shanklin picking up a second booking. Hearts have made it 3-0 and they are through to the last 16 of the Scottish Cup.
And that's all we've got time for this week, so thanks for joining us on the podcast.
That's spine tingling. It just brings me back to that moment. That second goal.
It was a great goal.
I can't say enough about how good a goal that was. Now, if you watch that back, Lauren Shanklin is out on the left. He cuts inside and he flicks the ball between two Hibs defenders. And there's Humphreys, who's up front with him, chests it down to him. One touch on his thigh. Bang! Right foot into the corner. I mean, it was a brilliant goal.
Was it as good a finish as Tony Sibbick's finish for the third goal, though?
But because that's not his job, you'd have to say that Tony Sibbick's goal from... I mean, he ran from the 18-yard line. He sprinted past Humphreys, the striker, in on goal, and then to chip it over Marshall the way he did. The audacity to do that. Wow, what a goal. I mean, what a finish to the game.
3 out of the last 4 years, Hearts have been in the Scottish Cup final. I've got a yes or no question for you, Ewan Cameron. Can Hearts actually win it this year?
We'll get to the final.
See, when I said yes or no question, yes or no, can Hearts win it? I didn't say will they, I said can they?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Hearts
if it's
fans,
Rangers in the final, we win it.
Go home, don't bother.
No. If it's Rangers in the final, we beat Rangers, we don't beat Celtic.
Okay, interesting. Let's move on to some of the other games then, and we'll start with the lunchtime kickoff. It's Celtic 5, Morton 0, a bit of a cruise in the end. We'll come to the VAR decision in just a wee bit, so don't worry, hang fire on that one. But yeah, straightforward, we all thought it was going to be, and it was for Celtic. It started a very, very strong lineup, to be fair, Ange Postecoglou, when I saw the lineup.
It means business.
Oh, the Morton fans were like, oh no. Yes. this isn't what we expected. Anyway, 5-0, it finished in the end. Falkirk are through to the next round as well, came from behind to beat Alloa by 2-1. They'll play either Darvel or Aberdeen, who of course play tonight in the next round. Everyone, I think, or not everyone, but a lot of people were looking at Arbroath versus Motherwell and thinking, might be a wee upset there. But in the end, Motherwell winning by 2-0, and it was fairly comfortable in the end as well. I think Arbroath are struggling in the Championship. I think a lot of folk maybe sort of overlooked that as well. So 2-0 to Motherwell, they're through to the next round. Dundee United 3, University Stirling 0. United huffed and puffed a wee bit in the first half, then eventually got the goal just on the stroke of half time, and I think after that there was always going to be that result. Dundee United were always going to get through.
Two things. Firstly, a second ever start for our youngest ever player, Rory McLeod, up front. Thought he did very well.
Good.
And secondly, Alex Ferguson, Judy Murray, Lillian Shuram and Eve Muirhead, get it right up you. Your stupid wee videos. Where are you now? Where's your video now?
Yeah. Silence is deafening from those lot now.
Yeah, exactly.
After their 3-0 pumping. Although, having said that, though, I thought it'd be 8 or 9. So well done to Stirling University for only conceding the 3 goals at Tannadice. I would actually question Dundee United's attitude going into that game, winning only by 3-0. And your first goal only came on the stroke of half time. I would be a wee bit worried if I was a Dundee United fan. I think that's pretty poor. Get it up, you. Anyway, moving on.
It was Hamilton versus Ross County 0-0 after full time and extra time, but then Aki's winning 5-3 on penalties, scoring all of their penalties, and Ross County's miserable season continues, bottom of the Premiership, and they have been dumped out of the cup as well to bottom of the table. Hamilton in the Championship. Kilmarnock left it late to beat Dumbarton. Jordan Jones with the only goal there in stoppage time, and they were sort of knocking on the door for a wee bit. Kilmarnock final 10-15 minutes, but Dumbarton will be absolutely spewing with that one. Partick Thistle 1, Dunfermline 1. Partick Thistle winning 4-2 on penalties. Dunfermline missing a whole host of chances, and then missing a couple of penalties, which led Partick Thistle to win in the penalty shootout.
So who's in the fifth round?
They are in the fifth round, and they're taking on Rangers.
Okay, so Dunfermline created a host of chances, should have scored more goals, did they?
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. So who's in the fifth round?
Partick Thistle.
Right.
Okay. So wait, Hearts are in the fifth round.
Oh, we are, yes.
Dundee United made it through to the fifth.
Yeah. Yeah, you're Dunfermline
are also in League One.
Dunfermline are also in League One.
No one cares. You're not in the Scottish Cup.
You're out. And you've missed out on a money-spinning tie at Ibrox against Rangers.
Nobody cares. St Mirren 0, Dundee 0, and St Mirren winning 3-0 in penalties. Dundee failed to score a penalty, which is absolutely wild.
Did they?
Yeah.
They missed all the penalties.
Well, St Mirren won 3-0 in penalties, so that would suggest that Dundee didn't score any of their penalties. Ewan, zero, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
I think Trevor Carson saved his last six penalties he's been up against.
Very, very impressive. There
good start.
Thank you.
I don't think it was much of a match, but St Mirren through to the next round, and we were on for a shock at halftime at Ochilview because Stenhouse Muir were leading by a goal to nil against Livingston, and then, I don't know if you've seen the video David Martindale going absolutely off his rocker at halftime, and then after the game he was like, well, I had to have a few words with the boys at halftime and that, and you know, I wasn't very happy with the way they played. I mean, that's putting it politely, because if you actually hear what was said, he was going off his nut. Anyway, it worked because Livingston turned around in the first 15 minutes of the second half and ended up winning 3-1. And then there was a game on Saturday night as well, St Johnstone 0, Rangers 1. Again, Rangers huffed and puffed a wee bit as well.
They're getting the job done though.
They have been, and absolutely Michael Beale's won all his games in charge apart for the Celtic game. But every time I've seen Rangers, they haven't really blown me away. Nah. They haven't impressed me. And St Johnstone, you know, were quite obviously happy to sit in and soak up a lot of the pressure. But in the final 5-10 minutes, I thought St Johnstone came out and put Rangers under a bit of pressure at the end. And it was them who was pushing for the equaliser, obviously.
And there's one cleared off the line as well, just towards the end of the game.
But it doesn't matter, because Rangers are through the next round, and that's all that matters in the cup competitions, as we've already discussed today. So,
join the fifth round draw.
And then I was just going to mention that we have Aberdeen versus Darvel tonight, and that's the final tie, and obviously we've already covered the Edinburgh derby. So yes, let's go through the draw for the last 16, please, Ewan.
So as I go through the draw here, just shout out who you think will make it into the quarterfinals. Alright, here we go. So this is including you in turn, Callum, as well. Celtics at Mirren.
Celtic.
Cove Rangers or Ayr United versus Elgin City or Drumchapel United.
Ayr United.
Darvel or Aberdeen versus Falkirk?
Aberdeen.
Dundee United versus Kilmarnock?
Kilmarnock. How absolutely dare you?
Did you say Kilmarnock?
I think that's a really...
It's a tough game.
I think it's a really even tie.
We beat them 4-0 at Tannadice less than 2 months ago.
Yeah, but this is a cup, mate.
Different.
No bother.
Different day.
Let's not use evidence.
Yeah. Different game.
Hamilton versus Hearts?
Hearts.
Linlithgow Rose or Raith Rovers versus Motherwell?
Motherwell.
What if it's Raith Rovers?
Motherwell.
Livingston versus Inverness or Queen's Park?
Livingston.
What if it's Queen's Park?
Livingston.
Okay, and finally Rangers versus Partick Thistle?
Rangers.
Okay.
Do you disagree with any of that?
No, I don't. The one that I disagree with is Stephen. I think that Dundee United will beat Kilmarnock.
I think it's a tight match.
For what it's worth.
It could go either way.
I agree with you.
Okay, well, there we are. Right, let's move on to our next bit of the podcast. You are listening to the Big Scottish Football Podcast.
La gente está muy loca. What the
fuck? Okay, VAR WTF. Ewan Cameron.
Yeah.
You have been a staunch defender of the handball rule and its changes.
Yeah.
So why did Celtic get a penalty against Morton for that infringement, so-called infringement, against Effie Ambrose? Now, what I would say is pretty unanimously, even the Celtic fans are going, yeah, that wasn't a penalty. So why was it given?
So I was on the train heading to work when you sent that through to me in the WhatsApp group, and you said to me, go and explain how that's a penalty. And even today I cannot explain what the referee sees there. I'm going to say something that's controversial.
You don't often do that.
Actually, do you know what? I'm not going to say it. I'm going to read out what was being posted on Twitter around this penalty and the reasons why it was given, okay? This is a kind of chat that's on Twitter that I'm following.
And if we know anything about chat on Twitter, it will be reasoned, it will be well thought out.
This is from the Twitter page, Stand Up for Celtic. the SFA tactically gave us a dodgy penalty in a Scottish Cup home game against Morton to make it appear like there isn't an agenda against us.
I mean, I mean that is one, obviously...
That's wrong. That's wrong. That's silly.
That's
staff.
One person but who's off the rocker. No.
There's a lot of people who agreed with that and thought there was something more to it.
I don't know if that's true,
right,
Ian.
Okay.
I honestly don't know if
right,
that's
right,
true.
Right, right, right.
Most Celtic, in fact, 99% of Celtic fans I've seen...
Does the stand-up part mean comedy?
Yeah. 99% of Celtic fans I've seen online been like...
I agree with you. 99.9% of the Celtic fans believe it wasn't a penalty. Here's my next point. So that one, that tweet that was going round... and that people were talking about, I think is a load of nonsense, right? Because there's no one out to get anyone. There's no corruption. There's none of that stuff going on, right? End of story. But what I will say is this. There has been so much said about the penalty incidents in recent weeks. Has the referee in some way been swayed? I mean, we're all human beings at the end of the day.
I can't answer that because I wasn't the referee.
But can you imagine being put under that sort of pressure and that sort of scrutiny over the last 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks?
What pressure? They're playing Morton in the Scottish Cup.
But I'm talking about the referee, the pressure they're under.
But,
right?
Like, I don't...
That's a penalty. Asking for review, sending letters, all that kind of thing. Does that play in a referee's head? I'd love to get a referee on to actually ask that question.
Can
outside influences influence your decision?
Of course they can.
Right, so is there a chance that the referee, because of all the pressure surrounding the refs and penalty decisions that haven't been given over the last 5, 6 weeks... That swayed his decision?
No, I don't think so, because I wouldn't have described Saturday as a high pressure match. If that hadn't been given,
does that not make an easier decision then?
Well,
without having the controversy around it?
No, because now everyone's still talking about it and saying what a ludicrous decision it was.
That's what I'm saying. The decision, was it made based on the fact of what's been going on in recent times?
I don't think so. I genuinely don't know why the penalty was given. I don't think it's for that reason. I don't know why it was given. But I think that Saturday was not a high-pressure match. It's Celtic versus Morton in the Scottish Cup. Celtic were always going to hammer them anyway.
See, if I'm a referee, I'm talking for me, personally, as a referee, right? And I've been under scrutiny, not just me individually, but as a collective, over the last 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks, or whatever it might be. Okay? And you're at Celtic Park, and there's another handball decision, and because of what's been said, and what people are thinking, and it's against Morton, it's an easy one to give. And so you don't wake up on Monday morning going, we've not been given another penalty.
But it wasn't a penalty, so I don't think anybody would have been saying that. I genuinely don't think anyone would have been saying
that. No, but I'm talking about the referee, I'm not talking about anybody else, I'm talking about the referee.
I know what you're saying.
And why he might have given it.
I mean, yeah, but I don't know. But you'll have to ask the referee. But I don't think that he would have been waking up this morning. If he hadn't have given that decision, I don't think people would have been talking about the decision, because they would have looked at it and went, oh, that's not a penalty. I think unanimously.
But in the heat of the moment, has the last 6, 7 weeks affected him? You don't think so in turn, Callum? Do you know what I'm getting at?
The only point I'd make, because I agree with what Stephen's saying, is that also the person that's asked him to go and look at the monitor is in a room off the M8 near Bayliston. There's no pressure there.
So, yeah, no, but he himself.
Yeah, but I think if he's
part of the.
But if he's asked to look at a monitor, that influences.
I know what you're trying to say. Yes, of course, outside pressures are influence refereeing decisions. Of course, it will.
Well, it influences us and what we do in our lives and what we do in our jobs.
Of course, it does.
That's my point.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. But I don't think that was the reason on Saturday. I don't think they thought, oh, that's an easy. We'll just give them that. Just to sort of like, oh, because
stop the noise around it,
because all it's done is just confuse people further as to what is a penalty.
I agree with you. I'm completely confused. I don't know how that was a penalty. The shot comes in, deflects off a Morton player, bounces up onto the arm of Effie Ambrose, who's got no chance of getting out of the way of it. It's one of the most ridiculous decisions that I've seen this season.
And then even the other one, the Effie Ambrose,
when he falls down on it,
and again, I didn't think that was a penalty either.
But if he's given the first one,
if he gives the first one, he surely needs to give that one.
He has to give the second one.
There's a directive which says if the ball catches your falling arm, your supporting arm, it shouldn't be a penalty.
But then
there's also a directive
about the deflection on your arm.
I don't defend any of it. I agree.
No, that's fair enough. I just think another
Howler.
What they actually need to do, they need to go one way or the other here. They need to go back to how it was, and the definition of handball needs to be, was it deliberate or was it not?
Well,
that's what they need to do. Or every handball in the penalty box is a penalty. I think they need to go either way here.
Did you see the poll I put up on Twitter about that?
Yes. What were the final results?
I'm going to give you the final results on this, and it's a really interesting one. So after that decision against Morton at the weekend, I put a poll up, and I just asked the question, with all the controversy surrounding penalties just now, are we heading towards a rule where every handball in the penalty box is a penalty? Yes or no? Yes, 26%. No, 74%. There was over 1,000 people that cast their vote on that.
I actually think it would be better if every handball in the box was a penalty.
So you would support that?
Yeah, I think I would.
It just ends any controversy.
If it hits their hand, it's a penalty. And then that's it.
Under any circumstances, it's a penalty. Yeah. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. And then I know you're going to say, oh, well, then players will start aiming for their hands and stuff like that. But I think that... You know, I've seen a lot of players in Scottish football and most of them are not capable of that. So, like, I don't think that's going to be an issue. No, I don't think they're going to do that.
No,
to be
but
fair.
I know what you mean.
I just think they need to clear it up one way or the other because it's a mess. It's a total and utter mess. The other VAR WTF at the weekend, is it acceptable to have VAR at 3 games and not at the others?
I hate this. I absolutely despise this. I cannot believe for the life of me that we are not playing on a level playing field here. This should be a level playing field. It's either VAR for every single game in the fourth round of the Scottish Cup or there's no VAR anywhere. And the fact is, you're not going to get VAR at Darvel or Stenhouse Muir, etc., 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 then it shouldn't be anywhere else. I cannot believe we're allowing this because certain top flight clubs have got it. And also certain top flight clubs have decided not to use it. I think Dundee United not use it the weekend there.
No.
So they just went, nah, we don't want to use it this weekend. No. There should be a directive. At the start of the season, the SFA go, right, up until the semi-finals, there is no VAR for any club to use.
But you were angry that it got brought in halfway through a season, but you're okay with it being brought in halfway through a cup?
No, I'm saying next season. Are you not listening to what I'm saying?
But it's the same concept. So you'd be okay with the first 5 rounds not having VAR, but you'd be happy with the rest of the rounds having it?
No, not the rest of it. The semi-finals at Hampden, you could use it then.
Yeah, no, and we understand what you're saying, but you said
oh my God,
that you didn't want VAR brought in halfway through the season, which is a perfectly legitimate standpoint. I accept that.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it acceptable to have VAR for some of the tournament but not other bits of the tournament when it suits you?
Right, do you know what, every week I do this podcast, right, punters pick up on it, right,
they all you're go, doing they, it they, it's
they,
not
they all go, you've got you in a spin again and you've got me in a spin again, right? Listen to what I'm telling you.
I'm not trying
to spin what I've said.
I'm not spinning anything.
No, listen, what I'm saying.
One tournament where you're happy to have VAR brought in at a certain stage when it suits you, but another tournament where it's all or nothing.
Right. Let's get back to the original point that I made.
Right. We're going to move on. I'm going to say. So do you think that situation on Saturday makes Scottish football look like a laughing stock? Some clubs using VAR, some who don't have it.
100%, we're a laughing stock, it's a joke.
So are the English clubs down south a laughing stock in the FA Cup who have the exact same situation?
Yes, they do.
So everyone's laughing at England as well then, yeah?
Yes, and not just Scotland. But see here, Scotland, we make up our own rules. We don't listen to what England do. Right, and I think the rule should come in place next season at the start of the tournament, Stephen.
Yeah,
start of the tournament. VAR will only be introduced when we get to the semi-final stage, which is Hampden Park. There is nothing wrong with that. It's not halfway through. It's not three quarters through. A decision is made from the get-go, only from the semi-finals and this final stage. Do we have VAR? I think that's pretty clear, and I think that's what we should do.
I love spearing you and Cameron on this podcast. It gives me great pleasure. Great teamwork, Alan. Great teamwork, too.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, we asked you on social media which footballers, managers, referees, pundits would feature if Scottish football were a Disney film. So thank you so much for all your interactions and suggestions. Here are the best and worst suggestions from the lot of you. Let's get started. Josh Windass's Alice Band in Wonderland.
What?
Nah.
There was not. What?
Nah, that's from Finlay Cameron. Sorry, Finlay. Andy Little Mermaid, The Leon King, Evander Snow White, Ange Postecoglou. Plutoni what? That's from JD. Yeah, I think overall pretty decent. Thanks, JD. Liel Abada and Stitch.
Yes, I like that.
To Inverness, Cali, Thistle and beyond.
That's not a movie though.
Finding Robbie McCrory from Ricky Spence also. No.
Nah.
Wally McCoy. Wally. Nah. Carlos Cruella Deville from San McJuan.
I like that.
McElhwain. Great McElhwain. Name. Ewan Cameron, because he doesn't get any of these.
Sorry?
Very good. That's from Paul Rankin. Hugh Dallas in Blunderland, from Daniel Miller. Peter McCloy story from John Bleasdale.
That's good.
Ryan Jack Sparrow from Antonio Cholak, RSC.
But that's not a movie. Wait, was this not Disney movies?
No, just said Scottish people were Disney.
I know.
But so it's even characters.
Well, I would say that includes
Jack Sparrow's not a Disney character.
It literally is.
Pirates of the Caribbean is a Disney franchise.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Broxy Bear Necessities. The Aladdin villain Jafar.
Who's that?
Remember the baddie in Aladdin, Jafar.
Oh, Jafar, yeah.
Jafar.
What was the big song in that? That
Prince Ali, World. A Whole New World. Prince Ali, Fabulous He.
Yeah.
Ali Ababa.
No, the one, The Whole New World. Katie Price and Peter Andre did a
beautiful rendition of it.
Shocking rendition of that.
That's from Scott RFC 55. I think he might be a Rangers fan. Toy Story 4 Hibs 0 from Chrissy T. The Muppet Christmas Carol Starfelt. The Three Kevin Muscateers. Kevin Muscateers.
You know? Is that Disney?
Yeah. James Forrest and the Giant Peach.
That's not Disney.
It's Roald Dahl, is it not? That's from David Haining. Soul Bambi from Greg Playfair. That's not bad. Liam Fox and the Hound from Mark Gavin.
I love that movie. It's also quite sad. I cry every time I watch that. I watch every year.
Craig White and the Seven Dwarfs from Andrew Edward. Tony Mowgli. Baloo McCarry from Kenny Burgess. The Little Mermaida.
Mermaid. Oh, Maida, yeah, Maida, yeah.
Maida, yeah. Where are we? I've lost my place. Sebastian Frozenthal. That's going to get it like that. Peter Pange.
Who's Pange. Player?
Peter Pan.
Who's the player?
Ange. Postecoglou. How many Anges are there?
He's the Celtic manager.
Yeah, Ange Postecoglou.
But you said Peter.
Sort of big Australian guy.
But you said Peter.
Oh, Peter Christ. Pan. Peter Pange.
Oh, right.
Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's from George Burns. Winnie the Raphael Shite.
Winnie the Raphael.
Right. This is going to be a big test for you, Ewan. Winnie the Raphael Shite.
Work it through.
Come on, Ewan. Think about it. Winnie the
Raphael. Oh, Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. Thank God. Pooh. That's from P. McBee. Cruella Stephen Mill. When you wish upon a star felt. The Amy Irons giant. Giant, yeah, not bad.
That's not Disney.
That's Johnny Mack. Captain Duke.
Captain Hook,
yeah. Not James McLadden. That's from King Cholak. Peter Pan Vossen. That's quite good. Peter Pan Vossen. That's from Ginger Tommy. Moana Johnson. Dumbobo Baldy. That's from Mark Thompson. Thank you very much, Mark. Moanan. Guess that's a football team and a Moana reference.
Yes.
That's from Football Ghost. Aaron Moy story from Alex Largs. Who Framed Roger Hanna? The Joseph Hungboo book. That's from Ronnie Meldrum. Snow White and the Seven Yellow Ties from Smiley Face. Bukana Matata from Stephen Hill. Ian Gerantatui. It's not bad. And the Danny Invincibles from Greg H. 1872.
What's the Girantatouille?
Ratatouille.
Ratatouille.
Oh,
that's rubbish.
Yeah, right. What isn't rubbish and what's the winner?
I like the Frozen one.
Sebastian Frozenthal.
Yeah. Sebastian Frozenthal was very good.
That was good.
And the winner, therefore, is George Burns. Congratulations, well, George Burns. You don't win anything. No. You've just got a shout out on the podcast. So, next week, we want your suggestions for if Scottish football were brunch. Okay?
Brunch? That's just sausage and egg.
Jordan Flat White.
That's a coffee.
Carol Starbucks.
What's this got to do with a brunch?
Darren Barista.
But these are coffees.
Domlet Thomas. Omelet.
Domlet.
Left Peggy Bread.
Eggy Bread. I like Eggy Bread.
And Kyle Eggs Benedictus. So, yeah, not bad. Keep your eyes on our Twitter page at Big Football Scotland. We'll post a dodgy Photoshop of somebody, and you can leave your suggestions below. Right, let's move on to our transfer section of the show, which is called Rumour Has It / The Rumour Mill.
Mm. Rumour has it, rumour has it, rumour has it.
Let's take a look at some of the transfer stories doing the rounds this January window. So, South Korean striker Ohyeon Gyu, hope I pronounced it correctly. Are we going for that?
Sure.
Yeah. So 2.5 million apparently signing for Celtic.
Yeah.
And it looks like Georgios Giakoumakis is on his way out the door. He's away to Japan apparently.
Oh, that's a mistake. I like Giakoumakis. I think he's a really good striker. See, for me, he's Celtic's best striker.
Well, that's mental, Ian.
He is.
He's not, though.
No,
he is. He's so not.
I'm telling you right now.
He's not.
I spoke to my brother-in-law, who's a Celtic fan.
Well, your brother-in-law is wrong.
Right, my brother-in-law is...
he's quite clearly wrong.
He's a Celtic season ticket holder. He goes every second week with his dad to Parkhead, has done for like 20-odd years, and he watches Celtic way more than I do, and my brother-in-law tells me Giakoumakis is Celtic's best striker, because he is.
He's fundamentally not.
He is, because see, Kiego.
Who?
Kaigo.
Who?
Kiego.
Who?
Kaigo.
No.
Who?
Kiego.
Keep going.
Kigo.
No.
Who?
Kaigo.
No.
Who? He's like a horse in a western.
I always struggle with the boy's name. Kigo.
It's only five letters.
Kigo. No, it's not Kigo. Kaigo's Kaigo. What are you on about?
It's not.
Kaigo. He did a song with a Whitney Houston remix.
Oh, come on, help me out here.
Kiego.
I said that, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
Right.
It's Kiego.
So I wouldn't say that Kiego. I'm struggling with the name, right? I
was
struggling.
Right, we'll do it in bits.
Okay.
Kiego.
Ogo.
Kiego.
Kiego. I can't say it. Do you know what? I can't say the name for the band that Liam and Noel Gallagher are in. I can't say the band name. I struggle with it.
So I've heard this before. He says it in such a weird way.
I can't say it.
I can't say it.
See, when I'm on the radio, right? We play a lot of this band, right?
Uh-huh.
So we're on the radio. It's you and Cat at breakfast. That was Wonderwall by Oasis.
No, you said it normal there.
Oasis? Yeah,
no, but usually you say
it. No. I know, but ask me try to say it right.
Yep. Right. And what do you normally say?
Oasis.
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 Big fan of Oasis.
I love the Oasis. So yeah, I do struggle with certain things. So
Kyogo.
Yes.
Kyogo.
Right. He's not an out and out striker for me. He's not a number nine. That's the point. Giamakis, no problem saying his name, he's an out and out striker, which makes him the better striker. He offers strength. He offers a great finish. He can head the ball. He offers so much more than what
is it
Kiego does.
He doesn't, but what I will say, he offers something different from what Kiego does.
Makes him the better striker.
I really don't think so.
Do you think Kiego...
Kiego.
Do you think that he is a striker? Is he a striker?
Yeah.
Is he an out-and-out striker? Would you call him a number nine?
Aye.
No, he's not. He's definitely not a number nine. I don't think he's a number nine.
He scored quite a lot of goals.
I would call him.
Who's not a number
nine. I would call Kiego.
You don't think he's an out and out striker, no?
Well, wait, I think he's a Roberto Firmino. Roberto Firmino is a false nine. He's not an out and out striker. So, I would say that Kiego is a false number nine.
Is Lauren Shankland a striker, like an out and out striker?
I would say that he is, but he's not
just
playing.
Yes or no?
But he's not playing
just
that
yes
position.
Or no.
He's not
is playing. He an out and out striker? Is Antonio Čolak an out and out striker?
Yes.
Is Bojan Miovski an out and out striker?
Yes.
Cool. Because he scored more goals than all of them in the league this season.
Right. But I'm not. Mate. Right. See Roberto. Not Roberto Firmino. See Mohamed Salah. Where does he play?
What's this got to do with anything? Right. What's this got to do with Georgios Giakoumakis?
You're going to hear my point and you're going to listen to it.
I don't know if I want to hear your point.
See Mohamed Salah. Yeah. What position does he play?
Striker.
No, he doesn't. He plays on the right wing and he cuts in and he scores some goals. He's Liverpool's top goal scorer for the last four seasons. He's a golden boot winner. Yeah, he's not an out-and-out striker. That's my point. Your boy at Celtic ain't an out-and-out striker. He's a false number nine.
He's in the middle, though.
He's a false number. So does Firmino. Firmino plays have you ever heard of the false nine? I play FIFA 23, right? It's one of my
your two sources are your brother in law and FIFA 23.
I'm so tired, right. I can't do this.
Right. FIFA 23 is one of the most popular formations. A 4-3-1-2. And the one is a false nine where he comes back and he sits deep and he runs in behind. He's not an out and out striker. So that's what your boy at Celtic is. He is a false nine, like a Roberto Firmino type.
So what you're saying
or
is,
a Gabriel Jesus at Arsenal.
So what you're saying is,
who plays off the left?
So following your logic,
yes,
Roberto Firmino is a better striker than Mo Salah.
I never said that. I'm saying he plays in a false nine position, but Mohamed Salah's not a striker, but he scores all the goals. But you don't. You want to call Salah a striker?
I would call Salah a striker.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
No, you wouldn't.
I just did.
I'd call him a right winger.
Right.
And he cuts in on his left foot and scores some goals.
Anyway, Giakoumakis is leaving regardless.
And
so
then again, Celtic's best striker leaving the club, I think, is a mistake.
Okay. Josip Juranovic away to Union Berlin.
That was a shock.
£10 million. It's not bad.
When he arrived at Celtic Park, what a player he looked and what a World Cup he had. Mm-hmm. He was outstanding. There was all this talk of like Chelsea looking at him, etc., etc. So again, there's clearly... He wanted to go, possibly. I don't know what the story is, why he wanted to go, but I thought he was a good player.
I think he wanted to play in a better league, which the Bundesliga is.
And Union Berlin are third in the league.
Do you think it's as simple as that? Do you think he just wanted to play in a better league?
And Union Berlin are third in the Bundesliga at the moment.
Who's the left back at Celtic just now, if it's not him?
Bernabe.
Well, he's all right.
So he's going to the team who are third in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
So obviously Union Berlin are not one of the big names. But
having a good season.
I think from Celtic's point of view, to get him and Giakoumakis out the door for the best part of £50 million is pretty good business, don't you think?
Oh, it's good business. I still think it's a mistake, though. Because he's our best striker.
Do you think that Kevin Nisbet might move?
I heard yesterday from my media pals at Easter Road.
You've not played it yet?
Oh, no, I've not. Sorry. Yeah.
This is The Real Football Phone-In with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
The remix.
So I was speaking to many of my work colleagues from the football media at Easter Road yesterday.
The people you opine to despise.
I'm not the biggest fans of theirs. Yeah. I wouldn't say I despise them, but I'm not the biggest fan. But what I would say is this, is that the talk yesterday, as I said at the start of the show, that Lee Johnson would be out of a job if Hibs lost. He's still in a job as we speak here this afternoon. And the other bit of chat that was going round is that they might try and cash in on Kevin Nisbet if they get knocked out of the Scottish Cup, because if truth be told, that's their season over. I don't think they'll get dragged into a relegation battle. I don't think they'll threaten top six. So why not cash in on Kevin Nisbet now and get top dollar for him? Because he ain't going to sign a new deal. He ain't going to sign an extension. So why not cash in? So that was a chat. Again, that might happen.
Rangers have been linked with Todd Cantwell, the boy Raskin, who is Belgian.
Yeah.
Looks like he's signed on a Bosman. He'll join at the end of the season. But
is Cantwell not already here in Glasgow?
I don't know.
There's pictures of him in an airport. Who knows what airport?
Okay, and also Morgan Whittaker from Swansea as well. So
there was a bid put in, and then Beale says, I don't know if that's true, and I haven't heard anything since.
So Russell Martin, the Swansea manager, said, yeah, we've rejected a bid. Then Michael Beale was asked about it and said, I don't know what you're talking about. But interestingly, he's already played for another team this season.
Yes.
So if Swansea play him, he can't sign for Rangers this season.
No.
And you've not played him for the last two games.
Yeah. Is there a rule in place where you can't play for three clubs in one season?
Yeah, FIFA rule. Yeah.
A FIFA rule. So yeah, but there's also talk of Davis coming still from Everton. Tom Davis, the midfielder.
Tom Davis.
Hearts, by the way, some breaking news about Hearts. I heard this yesterday. I'm not going to tell you who.
From your media friends.
No, I'm not going to tell you who. Callum Patterson, you know, the rumours flying around about Callum Patterson. If we do not get him in this window, 100% he will be a Hearts player in the summer. Callum Patterson will 100% be a Hearts player. It might be this month, but it'll definitely be in summer.
Can you turn the mics down so he can tell us who it was that told him that?
Okay, who told you that? Okay, him. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But he's got good sources.
Michael Beale looks like he's revealed that Alan McGregor will retire at the end of the season. Hardly a shock.
No.
So I think he was going to retire last season, wasn't he? And then he's just stayed on for an extra year. That was all.
Brought him on in the 119th minute of the Scottish Cup.
Do you know what?
All a bit bizarre.
I found that really strange. I mean, he helped Rangers get to a Europa League final. He then played the final minutes of the Scottish Cup. What a way to go out. Why not just go out then? Do you know what I mean?
But then money. If somebody's like, do you want more money for another year?
Yeah.
Aye, all right then, aye. Yeah, I'll probably do that, to be honest with you. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on stuff. This time next week, the transfer window will be about to slam shut.
Bang!
Bang shut. Crash shut. So hopefully next week we'll have more to chat about on that one. In terms of what's happening this weekend, let's spin through what's happening in the Premiership. Anyway, Hibs versus Aberdeen at Easter Road looks like a big one.
Yes.
Obviously, if Aberdeen get through tonight, there'll be no problems for Jim Goodwin. If Aberdeen don't get through against Darvel tonight, Jim Goodwin will not be in the dugout, I would imagine, for that match at Easter Road. Rangers versus St Johnstone, another home match for Rangers against St Johnstone. Ross County versus Kilmarnock and St Mirren against Mullingham. Well, and then on Sunday, a couple of matches. It's a super Sunday of Scottish football because it's the FA Cup down south. Livingston versus Hearts and Dundee United against Celtic. So first of all, let me talk about Livingston Hearts. Hearts have struggled at Livingston in the past. Are they going to struggle again on Sunday? You and Cameron.
I've been invited to go to see Livingston versus Hearts by James Penrice's mum. James Penrice is a left back at Livingston. I know his mum, and his mum's invited me and my son Josh to sit in the main stand and watch the game, which I may do because it's nice to see Hearts pump Livingston. We were there last season. Hearts won it narrowly by 1-0. Livingston were outstanding on the day. If I'm going to be honest, they deserve something out of the game, but we held on to win 1-0. Always a tough place to go. See right now. Not that I would take a draw. I think Hearts will probably edge it.
Wait. After all the slaughtering you've given Livingston on this podcast,
it's a tough place to go.
You would take a draw against Livingston.
No, I never said that. I said if we get
a draw... Is that how pathetic Hearts are?
No. If we get a draw, it wouldn't surprise me because Livingston are really tough on that plastic pish that they've got. So, yeah, it's not the easiest place. But, yeah, I think Hearts will win it. But it'll be tough.
Dundee United versus Celtic.
Good game.
I can see you just staring into the distance. Vietnam style flashbacks to the game earlier on this season. It won't be 9-0, but
5.
I would. Do you know what I would take right now?
A fiver.
I'd take a 1-0 or a 2-0.
You take that now as a defeat.
Right now.
Okay. Fair enough.
That would be progress from the 9 you conceded last time.
That's good maths.
Obviously, we don't know what the score's going to be tonight. I suspect Aberdeen will win anyway against Darvel. But Hibs-Aberdeen on Saturday does look like it's a huge game.
Loser
gets sacked.
That's what it could be.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it could be.
Rangers St Johnstone, Ibrox, you'd expect Rangers 3 points for Rangers. Ross County, Kilmarnock, that's a big one as well.
Huge.
Ross County, and there's another one. Malky Mackay is surely under mega pressure at Ross County.
This is one of those must-win games. This is one of those six-pointers. They cannot afford to lose that game. Actually, they can't even afford to draw it. If you were to say, come on, and right now we'll give you a draw at Ross County, they'd snap your hand off for it. Ross County need a win.
St Mirren versus Motherwell, and it's getting to must-win stage for Stevie Hamill as well. A good win in the cup at the weekend against Arbroath. A lot of people were thinking might be a cup upset, but they managed to get through. But it's going to be difficult at St Mirren, and we discovered on Saturday that St Mirren's Park is actually called St Mirren Park, which I didn't know. Because I thought I had a stupid sorry sponsor name.
And I thought it was the Smyser Stadium.
No, it's the
St Mirren Park.
The St Mirren Park. Yeah.
I only remember it as Love Street.
It's never been called Love Street, but it will always
be known to me as Love Street.
So do you call McDermott Park Muirton Park then?
What's that?
That was St Johnstone's ground before McDermott.
No, it's Muirton. Love Street. No, I'm a Love Street boy.
I know, but it's not Love Street. It's nowhere near Love Street.
I went to Love Street many years ago.
Sounds like a weird euphemism.
Right.
We've heard enough about your chat with Matt Goss this morning. And we need to wrap up the podcast, so we've all got lives to get on with. Thank you very much for listening to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you to you, Ewan Cameron.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of you for listening and getting in touch as well, as you do every single week. It's appreciated. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, I should say, on whichever podcast provider you use, so you don't miss a podcast. Keep an eye on our socials for a Scottish Football Word Brunch as well, and we'll get back to that next week, and we'll be back at our usual time with another brand new episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Bye-bye for now.